turned up. Lay your truck in front. That's the gun. That's the gun.
You are God. Welcome to our service at St. Catherine Chantana Church, Sunday, May 5th. Welcome to any guests among us this morning and those listening online. If you have children here, we are so glad you're here. Relax, as kids can be noisy and wriggly, and that's okay. There are kids' bins available in the narthex at the back for things to do during the service, and there's a quiet room at the back with a rocking chair and some toys. And there's a nursery for children 5 years old and under in the Sunday school area downstairs run by adult volunteers, so feel free to take your little ones there or just explore. Few announcements. There is a correction in the bulletin for games night. It is not Saturday at 6 p.m., it's Saturday at 7 p.m. The May activity calendar showing church activities this month is available in the narthex and includes birthdays and anniversaries. Mark your calendars for June 23rd for the first annual Niagara Mennonite Church picnic. It'll be held at Virgil Sports Grounds, and some details are in the bulletin and more to come in the future. The New Hamburg Mennonite Relief Sale is this month. For details, visit the website or to your bulletin. Also, remember to help our community with for filling the food box at the narthex, as many are hungry in our community. Lastly, plan a visit to the newly renovated MCC thrift store, formerly the Christian Benefit Shop. And let's bow in prayer. Lord, we feel you in our lives. And we come to you now in gratitude that you have gathered us. Here in this community, we seek to serve you by serving each other. Your love for us and ours for you brings us deep peace and sustained joy. Even through difficult times, we trust in your wisdom and perfect timing. Lord, we believe you have a plan for our lives. We call on you now to fill our hearts with your holy presence as we learn more about your word and worship you in song and prayer. All glory and honor be yours. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
We'll stay seated for the first time, then we'll have you stand for the next.
I'll never know how much it costs In the dark.
the sound of the rain when we're doing music. It's a reminder that as we sing, there's joy in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord extends far beyond these walls, all through where God is. This is a fun song. This is a kid's song. It's okay to smile on your phone and sing. And while you watch it, if you don't know. What do you guys think? We worship the God who lives. We worship the God who well more will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. They show in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't die. Shout out your name, there's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is sure to be in His place. We won't find it. Shout out your name. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. Cause He held up on that cross, and He rose up from that grave. My God's still a rolling stone in some way. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. God is surely in His place. We won't fight it. We shout out His praise. We were the takers, now we're the royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are the kids. Except redeemed by His grace, let the house of the Lord sing praise. We have your loyalty. We were prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven. Except redeemed by His grace, let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't forget. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't forget. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't forget. Shout out your praise, there's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. Jesus hung up on that cross, then He rose up from that grave. My God, still a rolling stone is away. Jesus, You are still rolling stones away. Thank you. Please be seated.
Well, this is where I normally say good morning. I forgot to before. Good morning! Hey, that's morning time. My name is Tim, and I serve as the pastor here. Now we're going to have our time for some announcements, or if you have any prayer requests or joys to share, just raise your hand and we'll have a microphone come to you. with the caveat, this is recorded and it is put up on our website afterwards. If you have things you'd like to share but not have them recorded, you can tell us afterwards. We're happy to pray with you or pray for you, or you can email that into the church. Well, we have the microphone on for Ron and Dennis.
Okay. Many of you know that it hasn't been well for quite a while. And Thursday she had a bone marrow biopsy. And Friday we found out that she has acute myeloid leukemia in advanced stage. So we're waiting. The results of that have been transferred to the Jurevitsky Cancer Clinic. We're waiting for an appointment to find out where our next steps are, but it's not curable. And if you could pray for us, that would be great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for sharing. We'll be praying for Linda and the uncurable leukemia.
Just a note to thank everyone who was able to make it out on Wednesday night. We had a nice little round table discussion to be able to present the ideas that we have been talking about and praying over for a while for our vision and the new things we'll be doing in the church moving forward. A number of our vision teams were able to write some things down, so we're going to collect some of that information, and we'll have that hopefully available for everyone next week. So even if you weren't able to be there on Wednesday, you'll be able to see some of the great new and exciting things that we're planning to do and proposing to do as a church. Well, let's pray together. At the end, I'll invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer with me. You are welcome to do that in whatever language is from your heart. Whatever words work best for you, we will have some on the screen if you're not familiar with it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are near, that you are in this place, that you are in this creation, always working to bring about new life and new hope, that you are in this people here. Lord, we pray for each of us that we would be able to experience that closeness, experience that love in tangible ways this week. May no one leave this building today not knowing that they are beloved, that you adore them, that they are your children. Lord, as we look through the world, there is so much trouble and pain and loneliness and violence and hurt. Lord, only you can make things right. We pray that you would continue to work on the hearts of the leaders through our world, that you would bend and break them away from the tools of violence, the ways of murder, and that you would reshape their hearts so that they would be able to bring about new creation, new life, new hope. May we start to see peacemakers even amongst those that were only war mongers before. Lord, we think of our own hearts and our own opportunities through the week, the troubled situations we are a part of. Lord, have mercy. We pray that you would continue to teach us to be peacemakers as you are a peacemaker, to be the kind of people who will enter into the trial to bring about your love, your hope, and your justice. Lord, we particularly think of those who are hurting in our community. And in particular, Lord, we think of Linda and Ron. Lord, we have no words. Have mercy. Be with the doctors. Be with Linda and be with Ron. We pray that they will be even more aware that whatever pain they are going through, you are right there alongside them. That you would carry them, that you would grieve alongside them, and remind them that they are yours, that you love them. As we bring our tithes and offerings to you, God, we recognize that every everything that belongs to us is yours. Take what we have to give and use it to advance your kingdom in word and deed. Friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll have one more choir song. After this choir song, children, you can come forward. We'll have a children's story after the choir song.
Thank you. All right, kids, come on up. Poor children's story. Good morning, good morning. How is everyone? Evelyn's good. How's everyone else? Silence. Okay, we'll say you're good. I hope you're good. You look like you're smiling. Well, everyone, I have to be honest, I'm a little bit tired this morning. My family got home from a trip to Mexico last night. So it was a long day of traveling and being in a plane and all that kind of stuff. Have you guys ever traveled? Have you gone anywhere cool on a plane or in a car or something? Disney, a few people have been to Disney. Bob Cajun, okay. Very cool. So you know what it's like to travel, right? Sometimes it's a little tiring, right? So I brought something from Mexico. I'm going to show you what it is. We bought some souvenirs. So I brought one of the souvenirs that we bought over there. This is a little bird. Can you see it? It's made from like little beads. And we bought this while we were there. We're going to put this on our Christmas tree every year. And this is going to remind us of our trip. So every year when we put this up on our Christmas tree, this bird will remind us of our trip to Mexico and all the fun memories that we had from that trip. Yeah, this is from Mexico. This is from last week, right? So this will remind us of our trip. Do you guys have any souvenirs from your trips? Did you buy anything while you were away that reminds you of your trip? Evelyn, what was it? Oh, so some wristbands. So when you see that wristband or when you put it on, it reminds you of your trip, right? Oh, pictures too. Pictures are a great souvenir, right? Pictures can remind us of our trips. Yeah. Oh, that's the best souvenir, seeing your grandpa. Yeah, that's very sweet. Yeah, that's a good memory. Okay, Veronica, what souvenirs do you have?
A turtle one.
A turtle? Is it like a stuffed turtle? A real turtle? No. What kind of turtle? Oh, like a bobblehead turtle. And where is it from? Also from Mexico? So when you see your turtle, it reminds you of your trip? That's awesome. Yeah, and all the fun you had. Exactly, exactly. Doesn't anyone else get any cool things from their trips? No, that's okay. This reminds me of a story from the Bible that we're going to talk about today. I don't know if you guys remember this story from Sunday school. Here's the picture. So we learned about the story of Joshua in Sunday school a little while ago, right? So this is the story when Joshua... Oscar's going to come. Yeah, it's okay. We'll keep going. This is the story of when Joshua led the people of Israel, right, God's people, into the land that he had promised to them. And do you remember how they got into the land? I don't know if you remember. There was a big river. Right? They had to cross a big river to get to the promised land. And how did they get across this big river? Did they have a boat? There was no boat, right? Did they have a bridge? There's no bridge. So what did they do? How did they get across the river? Does anyone remember? Think about another story. What about when Moses was trying to get across, to get away from the Egyptians, right? Yeah, God parted the water so that they could get across on dry land, right? So a very similar thing happened in this story. God stopped the flow of the river, right, so that they could walk across the river on dry land into the land that they were promised. And so the Israelites, they wanted to remember how good God had been to them, right? And so God told them to take some big stones from the river and to set them up, 12 of them, as a way to remember all the good things that God had done for them, right? So they set up these stones, and then for many generations after, when their kids and their kids' kids asked, what are those stones for? They could say, this is to remind us of how good God was to us, that he helped us get to this promised land, right? So that's kind of like our souvenirs from our trips, right? They remind us of all the fun we had in our trips, of all those good memories. This was the way that the Israelites could remember their trip across the desert, right? And how good God was to them across that, right? How he was there all the time, even when things were really hard. So it's kind of like my bird, but way more important than this, right? Because it reminds them of God's goodness. Let's pray together and ask God to help us remember that all good things that we have, they come from him. So let's pray together, right? Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us good families and good friends and awesome adventures to great parts of the world. We love you and thank you that you love us. In your name, we pray. Amen.
The passage this morning is taken from Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. You'll find it on page 334 in your pew Bibles. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever.
Well, it's my pleasure to introduce my friend, Pastor Michelle. Michelle and I went to school together. We shared a lot of laughs, a lot of learning about ministry with each other, and I am so very glad that we get to hear from her this morning. So please sit down. I have a clicker for you, too. You kind of have to leave it to the side.
Thank you. Bit of a cold this week. I'm better now. If I sound like a horse, now you know what that is. Do we just press power and then it turns the slides come on, or
just wait?
Look at that, fancy. All right, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, Pastor Tim, for inviting me to your church. I am totally blessed to be here and want to worship with you guys this morning. So thank you so much. Is this better? Yes, thumbs up. Perfect. That picture right there, that's my husband and I. He's here today. His name is Aaron. Aaron and I have been married for 5 years, and believe it or not, this is the first time he's going to hear me preach live. He's heard me preach virtually, and the reason for that is we got married in 2019. I went back to Pakistan and then married him. And then we applied for immigration, and that takes about 12 months. So about a month before everything was due, which was April 2020, a little thing called COVID happened about March 2020, and then the world shut down. So there were caused many, many, many delays. And then there were some delays because of COVID, and then just some delays because life happened. So this is his first time hearing me preach, and I'm just glad to be sharing with him and then also with you guys together as a church. I really believe the body of Christ, which is church altogether. You can go into any church, any building, and feel at home sometimes because you know the Spirit of the Lord is there, and you know the people are serving Jesus, Bible believing, God fearing, and it really does feel like home here this morning. So thank you again for inviting me here. Today we're going to talk about how God is faithful, how He shows up in our lives, and when He shows up in our lives. I feel like Aaron stole my introduction illustration because I wanted to talk about who here likes traveling. Hands up if you're a traveler. And then do you like getting souvenirs? Are you one of those people that buys souvenirs? I'm a keychain girl. I have a ton of keychains stored away in some box somewhere, but I collect keychains from even different cities I've been to. I love collecting those. Some people collect mugs. Some people like collecting art, and then they bring home and display in their homes. Some people really enjoy bringing home decor, so that when others come into their houses, they can go, oh, where did you get this? And they share a story of when they went to this place, or that one time they had this experience. These little things, these little souvenirs, create conversations with those who weren't there to experience those things with us. They create this moment where we're able to be with people and tell them, hey, yeah, we went to this place, it was really cool, look what I got. I want to tell you a souvenir story I got. Now, it's kind of an embarrassing one. I love Anne of Green Gables. I really love Anne of Green Gables. Watch the cartoons, read the books, all of that stuff, and I'm sure there's many Anne of Green Gables fans here. So, my dream growing up was I'm going to PEI one day. This is it, I'm going to PEI. I went to PEI after I graduated from seminary. Me and my friend did a 2-week-long trip to PEI. We did a road trip on the East Coast. So we hit PEI, then we drove all the way back to Ontario, but we hit all the other eastern provinces. I love these flowers, these lupins that you see. They're called lupins. I thought they were gorgeous. So when I'm going to the store, the souvenir shop, I see someone selling seeds of lupins for $5. I'm going to bargain and get to bring these back to Ontario. And then on my way back to PEI, I stopped in New Brunswick. We met with our friend Sandy. And I'm showing her, you know, all the things I got. I'm telling her all about my trip. And then I show her the lupin seeds, and she starts laughing. And I ask her, what's up? Why are you laughing at this? And she tells me, she's like, did you know you just got ripped off? Lupins are considered a weed in the East Coast. They're similar to dandelions in Ontario. They're kind of a nuisance. People don't really like them. They're pretty, but people hate it in their yards. So this is my claim to fame for souvenirs, is having ripped off, being ripped off, and by bringing home essentially East Coast weeds and nuisance. I still have the seeds, I never planted them because they told me they won't plant in southern Ontario because the soil is not as moist as it is in the Atlantic provinces, but I still kept them and I still think it's funny. But yeah, that's my funny souvenir story. I'm sure you have your own memories. I'm sure there's photos somewhere at home. I'm sure there's souvenirs somewhere. There's pictures or arts or mugs. You have your own stories that you share with people. Or when your grandkids come down and they look through your pictures, you tell them, oh, this was when I did this. This was from this time. Or this was from this and this wedding. You have memories and stories that you share. These things help us to remember things that have happened in the past and share them with future generations. And oftentimes, the things that help us remember stuff remind us of God's faithfulness in our life. The title of my message today is Remember When. And we're going to be looking at Joshua, like Diane had read. The entire story of Joshua, if you haven't, if you're not familiar with it, Joshua is the sixth book in the Bible. Joshua was written in 1450. And it's actually a continuation of the great Exodus story that the Israelites had from Egypt all the way through when they're entering into the promised land now. What's going on, the majority of the book is reflecting back and taking, so reflecting back on what God has done for them in the wilderness and now moving forward and taking territories and land in promise, territories and land in the promised land, or the promised land. Joshua is a successor of Moses. Most of the story here, Moses' journey starts off when he gets into Egypt. When he's in Egypt, there's all these plagues that happen, and I just need to give you a brief recap of what's going on. There's all these plagues that happen in Egypt, and Pharaoh is stubborn and says, nope, not going to let you guys go. Then there's this last plague that comes through. It's called the plague of the firstborn. Death of every firstborn child happens there. And it's on the first day, first month, of 10th day of the first month, sorry, in the Jewish calendar, it's the month of Nisan. People in Egypt are in bondage. They're struggling. They're enslaved. They really are crying out to God to come and help them. What happens next is when they get out of Egypt, they return to the wilderness. Now, some wonderful things happen in the wilderness. They're given the Ten Commandments, which help them live in order, figure out how they're going to live their life forward, and how they're going to be set apart and holy. They get bread from heaven. Manna comes from heaven. They get water from a rock. And then these people also do some really ridiculous things, like build a calf. They start a rebellion. A lot of them died off because of leprosy. I mean, it's just a whole bunch of stuff that's going on in the wilderness. What I want you to remember is this, the importance of that 10th day, first month, because that day represented the Passover. In Exodus 12, verses 1 to 3, it says this, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, 'This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household.'" This day ends up being the Passover. So we celebrate this even today, Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread. When they get into the Jordan River, when they're about to cross into the Promised Land, it has been exactly 40 years from the first Passover that they have celebrated to now that they're entering into the Promised Land. Because again, it is the 10th day of the first month. It is exactly 40 years before they're entering in. Now, when they left Egypt, they had to cross a body of water. That body of water was the Red Sea. And the story goes that the Egyptians are getting out of Egypt and they're crossing the Red Sea. And then they're getting into the Promised Land. They again have to cross another body of water, and that's the Jordan River. I believe that this entire story of their exit out of Egypt and slavery and bondage has them crossing into water, and then there's the wilderness experience, and then you have to crossing into the Promised Land with another story of crossing through water, is because water in the Old Testament was often used for purification, which meant that as they're going through this water, they're being cleansed and purified, although they don't know it, of their mentality of being slaves in bondage in Egypt. And then as they're being walking through the Jordan River, they're being cleansed again and purified of their mentality of being in the wilderness. The Lord is really showing them that He is truly leading them. He is the one in charge of them, and He is the one taking purifying them and leading them through. The other thing I want to point out is that when you cross a body of water, there's no turning back. You're in way too deep to want to turn back. When they're crossing the Red Sea, there's no turning back because the Egyptians are chasing after them. And when they're crossing the Jordan, there's no turning back because all they have known in the wilderness is the wilderness, which essentially had lots of blessings, but also lots of really terrible things took place. So there's no turning back when you cross these. Something I want to point out here, though, there's two different ways they cross the water. When they're at the Jordan River, in the book of Joshua, and they're trying to cross, the Lord tells them, as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, sets foot in the Jordan, the water flowing downstream will be cut off and will stand up in the heap. The Jordan at this time was at the flood stage, which is not a good sign for anyone trying to cross the river. Means there's a lot of water, not safe if you travel with your wife, your kids, your stuff, your tents, your animals, your cattle, your everything. Not a smart choice to cross over because you can lose a lot of stuff in the middle there. When they're crossing the Red Sea, it's the complete opposite. There's no come to the water, step in, and we'll walk away. When they're at the Red Sea, God tells Moses, hey, I need you to raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Here's why I think this is important. These two bookend events, and perhaps they will apply to our lives. Sometimes the Lord does the miracle for us, and we walk through. We see the miracle happening, and we see dry ground, and then we get to walk through. And sometimes God brings us to the edge and asks us to take steps of faith. And then we see the miracle happening as we're walking in faith. It's important to remember sometimes in life, God will do some incredible things in your life to clear up obstacles. And then you will walk in faith, knowing that it is the dry ground. And then sometimes in life, seems like he's silent and distant and not there, but truly he's asking you to take steps forward so he can show you in the midst of your mess what he is capable of doing. Here's why that's important for us in our lives. When they left Egypt and they're crossing the Red Sea, they don't know this God very much. They only know this God because their ancestors had perhaps shared a couple of stories. They heard a little bit. But they've been in bondage and slaves for about 430 years. That's a long time. That gives you a superiority complex. That'll make you feel like you're not really worth anything. If every day your job is to wake up, be beaten, and be worked to your bones. When they get to the Red Sea, they don't know the character and nature of God. They've seen him do some incredible miracles through these plagues and some incredible things, but they don't truly know him yet. Yet, when they cross over, he shows them a miracle and they're able to trust that he truly is leading them. When they get to their promised land, now they have experienced their God. Now, in their wilderness, they have experienced a God who is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, steadfast, faithful, forgiving rebellion and sin, and just. They have experienced his character and his nature in the wilderness enough to know that if I take a step forward in faith, I truly am going to see that honor part. We've all had our own wilderness experiences. Anyone who's been alive for longer than 5 minutes, you know we live in a broken, fallen world. And it is messy, and people are messy, and life sometimes has lots of suffering and pain, and it also is beautiful because it's filled with true joy and contentment. I think God really shows up in our own wilderness. This is where you truly get to know your Maker. If you are leaning on Him, and you are trusting in Him, this is where you will truly get to know your Maker. The wilderness is never easy. No one likes it. I don't think there's one person who has gone through something and said, that was great, let's do it again. People usually come out and say, I don't want to ever have to go through that again, but I learned some things. The wilderness teaches us who God is, and it teaches us that He can be trusted. This is exactly what happened for the Israelites. They had seen a God who provided for them. They were in the desert for 40 years, by the way, and never once. The Bible actually says, their clothes and sandals did not wear down. Now imagine having the same outfit for 40 years in the desert. They had bread magically appear to them from the sky. Quail showed up because they complained about meat. And water came from a rock. Lord really took care of them every step of the way. They lacked nothing. They grumbled and complained a lot. But sometimes when I was a young Christian, overzealous, I would read the stories and think, oh gosh, these people just don't get it. And now that I'm a little seasoned, I read it and I'm like, I'm just like these people. Because guess what? I grumble and complain a lot. I sometimes kind of tell God how He needs to run the world and make things work on my timelines because why not? But the wilderness, our wilderness experiences, teach us that it's not about us. He strips off that mentality of being slaves and being in bondage. He takes away that rebellion that we carry with us, and He shows us time and time again that truly the Lord is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and just. Joshua crosses over. They're crossing over to the Jordan River. They're getting the Promised Land, and they're told this: choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan. So essentially what they're being told, hey, the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant, they're going to be in the middle of the ocean. Now get 12 men representing 12 tribes of Israel. Where the priests are standing, have them grab stones from where they're standing. Because that ark again represents the presence of God, right? Have them grab stones from there and carry them to the other side. And then in verse 20 of chapter 4, it says this: Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and that you might always fear the Lord your God. So the stones that they gathered are placed as a memorial for future generations. So those who don't know the God that showed up in Egypt, those who don't know the God that showed up in the wilderness, those who don't know the God that had watched over them for so long, and they ask the question, what do these stones mean? People can look and say, I remember. This is when God helped us cross the Jordan River while it was in flood stage. Not only that, our journey started way back when we had to cross the Red Sea. And even before that, the Lord had promised things to his people, starting from Abraham. Our stories, these stones, represent what God has done in our lives, how he has led us. These stones will tell the story of God's faithfulness to his people, how he kept them, how he led them, how he disciplined them, how he forgave them, and truly how he made a way for them where there seemed to be no way. Now we all know the story of how it goes in the Old Testament. There's a whole lot of other stuff that took place. Now let me give you some spoiler alerts. There's wars, there's captivity, there's exile, there's betrayal, there's anger, there's drought, there's famine, there's destruction, and a whole bunch of other mess. They turn away from the God of Israel and they start building their own gods. Yet in all of that, God shows up and says, I am still your God. He gives them hope. We have hope today. Our hope is in the Messiah, hope in life everlasting, hope that God truly does work everything together for our good and his glory. Hope that there is a new day in Christ. Hope that we can spend eternity with our Father in heaven because of the finished work of the cross. For God truly is faithful. I want to leave you with this today. There's moments in our lives where God will part the sea, and we see the miracle happening, we see the obstacle removed, and we get to walk in faith. And then there's moments in our lives when nothing takes place and you feel like this God is distant and he doesn't care. Yet he calls us to take steps in the water and trust that he will part that sea. I mentioned earlier that my husband and I have been married for 5 years, but believe it or not, we've only lived together for 10 months. A lot of it has been delayed due to COVID, but we've had a very rough start to our marriage. There's been betrayal, deceit, and deep wounds. We were separated for about a year, and I even had files for divorce. And I can't speak for him, but for me, this was the worst time in my life. I was angry, I was bitter, I was ashamed, I was grieving. I mean, I had never experienced an anxiety attack until I was telling someone all these physical symptoms I was having, and she's like, oh yeah, that checks. You got it. You're having anxiety attacks every day. And there was days when I truly thought about ending it all. That was an awful world piece. I remember being so angry, so resentful, so bitter and ashamed, and fearful for the unknown. I blamed God. I know the pastor confessing to that, but I really truly blamed God. I blamed him for allowing this to happen to me. I blamed him for all the bad stuff that I'd gone on. I blamed him because I was like, excuse me, weren't you supposed to protect me and watch over me? What is this? And there was times where I truly, in that first year, was ready to give up. I mean, give up my faith. I stepped down from ministry because I honestly didn't even believe if I was capable of doing that. And then I wasn't even sure if I believed in the God I was supposed to talk about. I almost lost my faith, and I kept thinking to myself, he isn't real. If he was, why did it be so hard? I had no hope, and I kept saying, what's the point? Now, God in his faithfulness, truly in his faithfulness, just like an Israelite probably complaining, smelling, take me back, truly in his grace and faithfulness showed up in my life, not in the way I wanted him to. I wanted him to fix everything magically and make it work for me within like a day. But he showed up in my life like this. When I was at the verge of giving up and saying, I don't even think God exists, I'm done. He kept bringing people in my life who would come back and say, hey, do you remember when you preached a sermon and these women, these women groups I joined, would just cry and say, that helps me. They never told it to me when I was actually pastoring, but they came after the fact and would tell me that that really blessed me. I kept getting cards from people in the mail saying, you really did this and that blessed me. And at first I'd be like, well, this is cute, you know, but I don't really do that anymore, and I thought they were nothing. And then truly God kept reminding me of all the times, every single time he has shown up for me in the past. The times where I was rebellious and he had forgiven me. The times where I had nothing and he had provided for me. The times where I was angry and he showed up with a warm embrace. He reminded me of his goodness, his faithfulness, his mercy. Because I had lived through my own wilderness, he kept showing up in ways that I would remember. The only reason I stand before you here today is because truly the Lord is kind and gracious and faithful. With remembering the telling me about things that he had done in my life, of this time when I was broken, and he sent someone to embrace me, and I could tell it's a presence of God. To times where he had healed me from a past wound, to times where he had used me. Those times, in my rebellion, in my stubbornness, I kept saying, no, not it, I can't be right. But they kept coming in, and I couldn't shake it. So here's what happened. I had to make up my mind, because enough of crying, right? Like, I had to make up my mind, and I said, I either believe in him or I don't. I gotta make a decision. I can't be in the middle. So I thought, here's all the evidence I got. My brain works that way. I'm analytical. I like thinking, like, here's all the evidence I got. I got these cards in the mail from people I haven't spoken to in years. I have these women who didn't talk to me while I was in pastoring, but now they're telling me, here's what you did, and I really appreciated that. And I remember that I didn't remember those sermons, but they did. Here's what happened. Sharing all these stories, testimonies of what God had done in their lives, just using truly a sinner like me. And all of these experiences were kept coming back to me, and I'm a journal keeper, so I document everything like crazy. The experiences of, oh, I remember this, and I remember when this happened, I remember that time, and that was this. These things kept coming back, so I couldn't shake them off. So to decide, I looked at all the evidence that was there, I said, I either believe that he exists, or I have to lie to myself and say, none of these things happened. That was my turning point. I couldn't lie to myself. I couldn't lie to myself because that's just not who God is. I couldn't lie and say he doesn't care because I had proof that he did care. I couldn't lie to myself and say he's not there because I had proof that he was there. I couldn't lie to myself and say he doesn't care for me. I'm nothing to him. He's obviously caring for all these other people that are better than me and better at ministry and better at life and all this stuff. But he truly does care, and he showed up for me. This is why when we talk about things we remember, this is why it's important for future generations to know. We serve a faithful God. No matter where you are today, it could be a rough marriage, maybe bad family life, children issues, financial stuff, job stuff, just relationship stuff, health. Mountaintop, the darkest valley, and everything in between. If you fell asleep before, here's what I want you to take away. God is faithful. No matter what lies ahead, the good, the bad, the ugly, the Lord is there with us. Even though the Israelites experienced good times, they also had some really, really tough times. I mean, 2 million of them died before they crossed the Jordan. If you're interested in that, that story is incredible. Highly recommend reading. He's with us through every little detail in our lives. God never left the Israelites through their rebellion, through everything. He showed up for them time and time again. God never left me, though I was ready to walk away. He showed up time and time again. God is faithful to us in our good times, and He's faithful to us in our bad times. God shows up when we need Him the most. Whatever wilderness you're walking through today, whatever fear is holding you back, whatever worry you're carrying in your heart today, know this. Your Father in heaven loves you dearly, and He will chase after you. There's no end date to that. He just chases after you. He's a good, gracious, faithful God. And my prayer, my hope is this for you. So whatever your wilderness experiences, or whatever your promised land story is, if you're in the wilderness, the prayer is that you hold on. Walk it out faithfully, as best as you can. Be a grumbling, complaining, kicking, screaming, dragging you on the ground. Try to do as best as you can. Because God is faithful. He'll walk it with you. He'll give you all the space and room you need to figure it out, and He'll walk it with you. And if you're in your promised land, remember to share your testimony with those who are in the wilderness, to those who don't know the Lord. Because when people ask you, hey, why isn't that you're not worried about this stuff? Why isn't that your kids are with us? Why isn't that, you know, our company's shutting down and there's terror and job loss, but you seem content? You'll say, God provides and He's good. I brought some stones today. They're at the back. They're by the donation box just at the door. My hope is this, that as you walk out this morning, you would grab one. Stones are not magical. They have no special powers, unfortunately. But it's just a reminder. It's a reminder of God's faithfulness to you, whatever that means to you. And if you're in the wilderness, hold on, because you're going to get a stone or two when you get out. And if you're in the promised land, declare on the mountaintops that God is faithful. As the worship team comes back up for this song, oh, Tim, so sorry, I went over time. As I come back up, I'm going to pray with you again, and then I'll do a benediction after. I hope that's okay. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, that you hear us and that you always hear us. That our prayers, Lord God, are not in vain and they're not wasted. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you and we thank you. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy that leads us, Lord God. Thank you that you're a good and faithful. Thank you that you watch over us, O Lord. Father, let our hearts remember that you are good and you are faithful, and that your mercy truly endures forever. Help us to know, Lord God, when to follow you. And hold back. Give us the strength we need to trust you, Lord, to take steps in faith. Remind us, Lord God, for those who are in the wilderness season, that you embrace us, Lord, that nothing is too messy for you. And for those who are in their promised land, may we declare your faithfulness and goodness to the nations of God. We thank you and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Just stand as you're able. Just say, Lord, be silent.
Last week.